Hello, 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 everyone.
Hey,
We
y'all
are
there.
back at it again. Y'all know how we do during Halloween season. It's so much coming out. It's so much. So we are
So much to
trying
talk
to,
about.
exactly. We have, these are the, we got to talk about these things. And I'm really excited because I've been waiting on this show in Anne Rice's interview with the vampire. I want to talk about this because I'm excited for it. I grew up in the early 90s. So for those people who are fans of the original movie and the books,
this is definitely worth the watch.
This series is going to be a real treat. I've been enjoying it so far. We've watched the first two episodes that are available. Shout out to AMC Plus. So
we're streaming.
Exactly. I'm loving it. I hope you guys are liking it. I've seen a lot of positive feedback about it. So I'm just like, we gotta talk about this. Real quick, shout out to Savannah State. It's our homecoming weekend. Go Tigers. I had to throw that in there just a little bit, you
Wait,
know.
Did she go, y'all? Ask her, did she go though?
Whoa. You're gonna keep it right.
We're gonna leave her alone.
I'm gonna go back one of these days. I promise y'all. I've been saying this every year. I'm for real. I'm going back. But before we get into it, what we got in our cups today? I have my, what is this? I'm just here for the booze cup. I got a little Prosecco sipping in here. I know it's usually like, you know, you're supposed to have a nice little champagne glass, whatever. But it's Halloween, so
you drink what you want to drink.
I have to have a Halloween cup. You know,
I'm with you. So I got my Horn Hooch cup. I had pulled that out. Mm-hmm. And I'm drinking the Purple People Eater, which if you're in our Facebook group, I have posted this recipe in the group. It is vodka, blue curacao, sweet and sour, and grenadine, and cran grape juice, but I didn't have none today. So I put mine with a little bit of lemonade, which is why it's a light skin. But it's still good. That is an alternative. If you don't like grape juice, cranberry juice, you can use lemonade and it's still really good. So yeah, that's what we're sipping on.
All right. Y'all, again, she is giving y'all 31 different cocktails, mixed drinks for all of y'all Halloween parties, fall festivals, whatever you have going on this month. We had somebody in the group actually, you know, take one of the recipes and make it and enjoyed it. So I encourage y'all to do that. She's some really interesting stuff in there. And I will be taking those ideas from for the month long because I celebrate
Halloween
anyway. Just because it is. We like a little cocktail now and then. So yes.
Everybody likes a little cocktail.
Every day, check out a new, so you can get your hooch from the Horn and Hooch.
From the Horn and Hooch, right. 31 sips of Halloween. So I'll be keeping that up this month. But let's jump into this. It ain't quite a review because we ain't over. Series still going. But what we thought about episode 1 and 2.
One and two. Y'all know I got my notebook. Got my notebook. So let's start episode 1, because the first two were released on AMC Plus. So episode 1, we first of all, let's shout out to how the setup is. I think the first installment started more in the 1700s.
And yeah, this one's in the 1900s.
This one starts in the 1900s. And Louis Dupont du Lac is black now.
Say that name, girl. Say that
girl,
name.
I've been trying to practice to get it out there, Mr. Dulac. Okay. He is a wealthy colored man in Creole in New Orleans. And him and his family, they got it together. Like they got their little stuff together. They nicely dressed, nice house, nice little family. Now the business that we got going on though, Louis. Now, which I found out because I did a little research, the area that Louis owned, where he was like managing, it was like this whole, New Orleans had their own similar red light district back in the 1900s.
The Broncos.
Mm-hmm, where it was drugs, gambling and prostitution. And that this was a real thing in that era. It didn't go on for a long span of time, but that in New Orleans, they did have that pretty much like a red light district there. So Louis owns a couple of brothels out there. Okay. And so we start the story where the interviewer, and which is different from the movie that came out in the 90s, the interviewer got him at an older age. Because apparently what supposedly happened was when the interviewer was younger, him and Louis
were supposed to,
they were, yes, they started an interview process. They actually had recorded a few tapes, but the thing was the interviewer, he was young and he was a drug addict. So he wasn't taking his job as seriously. And Louis wasn't quite ready to be transparent. Honest. Yep, he wasn't quite ready to be transparent yet about everything he was going through. So they clashed and Louis kind of almost killed him. So
and they brush over that real cute, like
exactly. Cute, like. If you blink your eyes, you almost miss it. The fact that the interview went sideways for a second. And so now that the interviewer, he's older, he's at the very end of his career because he's got Parkinson's, I believe.
Well, you weren't supposed to give that away right away. They didn't tell us that in the beginning.
Spoiler
alert. He was struggling in episode one. We knew something was going on because he was struggling. I think he was having like this phone conversation that was difficult about what he was going to do or something like that. But you could tell from the beginning, his career wasn't on the path where he wanted it to be. And then he gets the original interview tapes in the mail. And so that's what sets everything off for the interview. At first he said, hell no.
Almost died. But then he was like, this is kind of a chance of a lifetime that Louis is still interested. He's like, I'm at a different place in my life. You're at a different place in your life. Let's have a do-over that they're both in, you know, like, I think we're really ready this time.
And can we acknowledge the fact that this man traveled to Dubai to have this interview?
Exactly. And he said, I remember he said he didn't tell the like his bosses or supervisors because they kind of footed the bill for him to go there. He told them that he was going to interview the most dangerous man. But he didn't say who it was.
Which one?
So he flew all the way out there to go visit Louis for this interview. And I appreciate the storytelling and the rapport that him and Louis have, because the interviewer is not impressed at all. He's intrigued, but he's like, it's like, I'm intrigued.
I think he's salty. Feel like he's salty.
He is. It's like, I'm intrigued, but I'm not impressed by you. And I think he feels that way because where he's at a point where his mortality is kicking in and Louis's isn't. So it might be a little envy there as well. It might be a little envy, but although he know he needs him because he knows if he can get this interview, that probably would be, that'll be like the last thing to kind of set him off as a legend, as he knows his health is on the decline. And so we get to see this interview restart. And Louis starts to tell us about his last days as a human. So episode one is pretty much his last days as a human and him meeting Lestat.
I liked how they played this out though. First thing first, if you ain't watching and you don't know, she said it, but she glossed over it real quick. Louis is a Black man in Creole New Orleans, so you already know this story, though it is also based on Anne Rice's book, does have a very new twist to it, which I think that's one of the highlights of, like she said, the storytelling, because in the original movie he's a plantation owner. His wife and kid dies, unborn child, his wife dies I think giving childbirth, and he's pitying himself, drunk alcoholic, stumbling by the water, and that's how he meets Lestat. And Lestat takes pity on him and offers to turn him into a vampire. In the original, this one is totally different because Louis thinks he meets Lestat by chance at one of the brothels, and he's talking to a young lady. And Louis, you could tell, like this young lady. Shout out Jacob Anderson, by the way. Grey Worm plays Louis.
Yes, and y'all, he acting.
But we knew
that, though. I loved him in Game of Thrones. But we didn't get to see all of his acting chops. He acting, y'all. In this
he's acting, and he's still fine. but... I had slapped that, didn't I?
If you wasn't, I was going to.
Right. But so these last days of him being a human, you know, he think he meets Lestat by chance. Later on, he figure out that ain't really what it is. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of under Lestat's spell immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the major difference in this series from the movie is in the series, I feel like he kind of gets bamboozled into the vampire lifestyle. Versus in the movie, it was a pity thing. I'm about to die anyway. My life is over. I might as well be a vampire. But here it's like, this looks nice. There's something about you, this mysteriousness. I'm enamored with you. And
Lestat sold him on, you are a Black man in the South. You mm-hmm. know that no matter how much money you have and how much businesses you own,
you're still only the smartest nigga in the room.
They only still gonna look at you a certain way. And he sold him on that. It's just like, how would it feel for you to have power and that people don't have to treat you any kind of way anymore, ever again? And it was like, wait a minute. And that, you know, that might be kind of alluring when you
bottom of the barrel,
because no matter how rich he was, and I feel like that was relatable in any aspect of being somebody Black and in the South, especially in the early 1900s, where it was always, you know, people calling you boy, and you know, you always having to smile, be respectable, yes sir,
that whole thing.
Exactly, you have to code switch, and it's like, and he's like, I work so hard for my family and myself to have these things. And certain people are still not going to receive him well. Of course, it's just like, oh, now people not ever going to have to be able to take advantage of me anymore?
Let's go.
And I like how the old folks used to say it, Colton. So, because remember in the original movie, it's like when he met Lestat, it was like instant. In this movie, you could see it like, it was like, I'm trying to get you kind of slowly into this
way trust me.
Of life. Yeah. Exactly. I'm pulling you in. And Louis describes it as being hunted. He was slowly being hunted and groomed also.
And groomed. That's what I was going to say. Mm-hmm. It gave me very much grooming, mm-hmm. If nothing else. And kind of like a, like just like you said, slow enticement, befriending, because I mean, he does admit that Lestat is his friend and his closest friend in the end. But it's this storyline is we're friends first before we became vampires and companions.
That was one real thing. I think that was interesting that they kind of tied with the first movie was that companionship that Lestat be real thirsty for companionship. Like he really
I mean, well, you gotta give him credit now. He done lived how many thousands of years because you know mm-hmm. they played that out again.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a backtrack for y'all real quick. Cause I don't know if people know this, but Lestat, the book series, first of all, the book series by Anne Rice, it was quite a few books. And mm-hmm. so Lestat made a new appearance in what was meant to be the sequel for Interview with the Vampire, which was Queen of the Damned, because that was the third book from Anne mm-hmm. Rice. This was not Anne Rice sanctioned per se. She started out on board and then she kind of shunned it because they took too many liberties. They changed the story up. You end up not getting Brad Pitt, couldn't get Tom Cruise back in there. But you did have the Lestat character. And in that movie, you remember, you saw him as like, I've lived this life. I've lived a superstar life. I've done all these things. And over all this time, I still needed somebody. So I think that's a running thing for his character across all the different books, movies, whatever, is he needed somebody. And Queen of the Damned, that ended up being Aaliyah, but whatever.
They actually, and also did some research, they're trying to incorporate characters from her other books into this series. So we're going to get some elements of Queen of the Damned. We're going to get some elements and characters from, there's a story she have about witches as well. We're going to get some of that. We're going to get some,
and I think they're going to put a little bit of the second book, because the second book was about Lestat. So you'll get like elements of that second book in this, because they'll have more time to focus since it's going to be, you know, a series, not a movie. So I like that. That is something we can look forward to as well. We know we're going to get Claudia from the original, because I don't know if y'all seen the previews. I seen the previews. And I love, I'm going to say again, that they've given Louis a young Black child to be his daughter, so to speak, because that's kind of the role Claudia ended up playing in his life.
I'm definitely anxious to see that play out, because in the movie, like, once Claudia came in the picture, the relationship,
it was a whole nother relationship.
It was a whole, the companionship switched from Louis and Lestat to Louis and Claudia. And that became more of the focus of the story. So I'm anxious to see how things play out when her character come into play. Real quick, can we talk about Louis's brother real quick?
Y'all, I ain't gonna lie to you. I did not like that they gave Louis's brother the holy roller, crazy Jesus. I don't know. He was just like super Christian, super judgy. And how dare you, when everything you have is based on what I've done for you, which ain't got nothing to do with
the love. I feel like, because back in the day, sometimes when people have mental disorders, sometimes they weren't treated the way that they should be. Because if you remember, if there was a small part when they were eating breakfast, I think, and his brother got to run in his mouth about Louis and what he do. And he was like, if it wasn't for, you know, me, you would still be in that hospital.
Right.
And so I'm assuming that his brother probably has like schizophrenia.
They did mm-hmm. say something about him. Because also there's a point where like the sister's trying to get him into some other kind of program. And he was like, it ain't worked last time, it's not going to work again. Mm-hmm. But they don't tell us what's wrong with him. But I hate that in order for him to have a mental illness, he had to be a religious zealot. Couldn't we just give him mental illness? Why do we need to give him religious zealot also?
With schizophrenia, you hear voices. And as someone who's like worked in that environment, a lot of people with schizophrenia hear voices.
They hear angels. And
it's like overly obsessive religious. So yeah, like it's like angels whispering or
the demons, devil.
Demons and stuff. So I think that's what they were trying to maybe get us to see about the illness, is that might have been the one. Because it was giving me very much schizophrenia symptoms. But child, when he walked off the roof randomly, I was like,
we wasn't ready. But I mean, to the character that they gave him, I knew something was going to happen, because with him being the religious zealot that he was, I also feel like he kind of had what Black folks call as a sixth sense, because you got to remember they in Louisiana now. So he immediately knew what Lestat was, and could not verbalize it because of his mindset, but I feel like he knew. He kept egging at his brother about it because he knew. And not only that, he also knew about the relationship and you know, the depth of what it really was, and not, oh, this my homeboy Lestat. Like, so I knew something was going to come of it.
And Lestat probably was taunting him too by talking to him telepathically, because he probably knew what he was. The same way Lestat was talking to Louis telepathically, he was probably talking to his brother the same way. Because remember, he said he was talking to me, but his lips didn't move. So he probably was telling his brother, like, I am everything you think that I am. Like, but, you know, right, he's going to believe you.
Right, because you're the crazy one.
Exactly. Huh. That's what I got from it.
But I also appreciate Louis for cutting that shit off at his house. He was like, babe, at the end of the day, I don't play by my family. And he kept that running theme in episode 1 and 2. Because Lestat tried to tell him, bro, you got to let him go. You live in a leather lifestyle. And he was like, no, I don't. This is my family. I don't play by them. He did separate himself more, but he still had that same devotion to them. And he had to have that aha moment where he realized, damn, I really can't be there for them like I want to. And not because Lestat said so, but because this is who I am.
He had to come to that conclusion on his own.
Yeah, he had to see it for himself. And so I can commend the man for trying to be down for the homies. Love his family.
Yes. Well, yeah. On that, let's move to episode 2. So at the end of episode 1, we ended with Louis getting bit. Of course, after Lestat tore through the church. Oh my god, he ain't even have to go in like that. He was showing out. I think he just wanted to show his little powers a little bit. But yes, you still get some whore with this series, because Lestat, when he came up through that church, that was definitely a horrific scene there. He was full on vampire mode. Yeah. And Louis was scared for his life. I would have been too. Louis was scared for his life then, because Lestat was showing out. He was showing his age, he was showing his power, all that kind of stuff. And so we end episode 1 with Louis getting bit, going to episode 2 with Louis starting his life as a fledgling.
Is fledgling. It? Oh, he hate that word. It's a fledgling, but he hate that word. It's like calling him a boy. Don't call me no boy.
He was like, don't call me that word. You know, he just like that made him feel inferior. And he was not having it. But also
and on that same note, inferiority, you get a little bit more of that in this episode with him dealing with inferiority to Lestat, and then his inferiority with white people in general, because with them being an interracial couple, at the end of the day, my boy, you don't understand. As long as you've been alive, you still don't understand what it is to be a Black man. And so you get that conflict, which again, I can appreciate the storytelling in this, because it's giving new light to the series. It's not something we saw before, but it is hitting on things that we can relate to now. And so they're doing that really good. Throughout the series.
That's why I like the storytelling. And I think that it's good that it is a series, because they're able to take their time with writing out exactly how Louis feels. It feels real, because it's like you can relate to the feeling. It feels real. And the way that they even input vampires into the story, it feels very real. The way that it happens, how Louis is just stumbling, like he just doesn't know what's going on, but he's still trying to run his business, check on his family, navigate life. Because at the end of the day, it's just like, okay, I'm a vampire, but I'm still Black and I still have these businesses to run. And how do I balance this stuff? It feels very real. But when we go to the other story, there's this dinner scene with Louis and the interviewer, Daniel. And I like that also, that we're taking the interview, we're moving around, we're in different rooms, seeing different things. So they take this second episode to where they have a dinner scene. And you could tell, I feel like we're getting a little bit more of what Louis's life is like in the present time.
Right,
what is
he
doing now? Because it takes place, this interview now takes place in 2022, because they talk about the pandemic and everything. So it's just like, after you've been alive for this long, what are you doing in 2022? How have you adapted to life?
Right.
And so he has this elaborate 7-course meal planned for Daniel.
And some of that shit I wouldn't eat. And I like food. Like, but when they put their pig foot on that table, they made it look like a a dangle gourmet meal. I was like, y'all didn't cook their pig foot out of the way.
He had a 7-course meal, and they told him he like have all these, you know, servants and chefs and all these and housekeepers and stuff that are around, like a whole lot of people around just assisting him in this lifestyle of his. And they're like, you know, Louis will be with you and join you like with one of the meals. He'll be here for one of them. And so Daniel is, you know, enjoying his little fancy meal. And then Louis,
but he confused.
Yeah, very much confused, because, you know, when he's joining me for one of the meals, does that mean I'm the meal? But we find out that Louis has stopped killing humans years ago. He said, I stopped doing that. But he never said he stopped feeding off of them. So they start setting the place for Louis. They put in plastic all over the tables and all this kind of stuff. And Louis has this whole meal of, he eats, feeds off of farm animals, because I guess he got a farm or something. They said we went out back and got these or whatever. So he's eating off of animals. And then there's this other guy that comes in. Kind of, it reminded me of True Blood. You know how some of the vampires in True Blood.
Yeah, you had that voluntary human.
Exactly, where they would just feed off the humans but not kill them. So Louis had that going on. I'm not sure how comfortable I would be.
Come on.
Eating my dinner
with a volunteer tribute table.
I don't know how, because I'd be like, wait a minute.
You probably couldn't watch you do it, but I might volunteer as tribute. You little nibble. Don't drain me though. Don't turn me either.
I don't know. But what if you was Daniel? You sitting there trying to enjoy your dinner, and it's a whole blood fest.
I'm not gonna eat. I'm not gonna eat my food.
It's a blood fest over there.
The first rabbit he bit into would have been enough for me, because it was just an animal. Like, y'all didn't cook it, prepare it. Y'all just gave him
the rabbit. Snatched him up out the yard and brought him in there.
Yeah, you just gave him the rabbit.
I don't know how they thought I was going to eat with all this happening. I'm confused.
That's the answer. That's why he had all them courses before old boy got that, to make sure he could stomach his food first. That's what that was.
You're right. That's it. We got that. Okay, I got it now. Because I'm just like, why would he sit there and let this man eat by himself? You know, that's why, because I wouldn't have been able to finish my food after that, because it was a lot going on. The whole blood fest going on at the end of the table. But after he cleared that up, after they cleared it up, they had a dessert together, because Louis said he tries to eat human food once a week.
Which is so weird to me, because all the vampire lore say they can't taste the shit. So what's the
point? He didn't. He said it was nasty. It didn't taste. It was horrible. But I guess he said just to keep up the routine. So I guess that, so that he would be able to still sit with humans without like being completely grossed out. Yeah, he brought in a dish that was something that was a favorite of Daniel's. That something that meant something to him. I think he said when he proposed to his wife, one of his wives or something, because he was married twice, that he had that dessert. Now, how Louis knew this?
I think Louis been following him over the years, because how'd you know where he was at to begin with?
Exactly. I guess maybe after their encounter where he almost killed him, maybe he just kept tabs on
him. He just kept tabs on him. Hey, mm-hmm. One, because you know my business. So
that's true.
You didn't follow through with the book, so I know you didn't take my business nowhere, but then what are you doing? I would say, too, because at the time, he did also mention in his youth that he thought he wanted to be a vampire. So I could feel like Louis was keeping tabs on him for that reason also. But, I mean, you going to live for a whole long, long-ass time, so maybe you just want to know when I was going to die. I don't know.
Exactly. Right. So I'm just like that. I guess that's what made me think about that. Like, have you noticed, Louis? So they shared a nice little dessert together in peace.
I don't want to give the secondary story of this dinner away, because y'all gotta watch. I want you to watch. I don't want to spoil everything for you, but I'm going to tell you that episode 2 had me on the edge of the couch, because you definitely thought that Louis finna fuck up. And that's all. That's all I'm gonna say. I'm not gonna tell y'all what happened, but like I said earlier, you know, he believed in that family connection, and he tried his best to stay the family man that he could be. But in this episode, I was in tears because I thought Lou was finna fuck up. And it was dramatic, y'all. And they did very good, but I think that is the moment. Because they told this story at the time where Lou is explaining that he no longer lives that lifestyle, I think that is one of the moments where it sits in his mind that, oh, shit, I am a vampire. Like, I think he had the realization that this ain't no fun and games. This ain't nothing to play
this
with.
Ain't no, exactly. This ain't no play. Like, this some serious shit. You know, I would, yes, that. I was, that was, that's why I said this is some good storytelling. This is intense. Because you get to see the battle with humanity and how what Lestat calls his vampire nature. Because Lestat don't give a shit about killing. Lestat don't give a damn.
That they kept the same, baby, because Lestat was ruthless in the first one. Exactly. He ruthless in this one. And I feel like we're going to still get the same beef when it come to him and Claudia, which if y'all watch the movie, y'all know that Claudia also turns into this ruthless nature, having been with Lestat and Louis, but she kind of get a heart from Louis, and she has a heart for Louis, but she also is a beast. And so I'm hoping
very
they keep
much
that.
So
I'm hoping that they keep that going in the series, because that's going to give us a good balance between Louis and what you love and what you care about, and then Lestat, who you also kind of care about, but both these fools is out here acting crazy and you deep down ain't about that life.
Just savagery out there. Lestat was when he got mad because the dude didn't sing it in the correct note at when they was at the little opera, and he was like, because he was enjoying himself, and then Buddy came in and that note was off.
And he said, why would you? Why?
He was pissed at dude. And then, of course, used his little vampire glamorization skills to call the dude back to the room, like, come on, yeah, let's play on this piano, you know, let me hear a little vocals and stuff. And Louis was like mad, like, why are you doing this to this man? Just because he didn't sing it the way he wanted it to be sung. He was pissed. And he could have just left that man alone. Just don't go back to the show. What's that? Don't go back to the show. But no,
that's they needed to be right, because this show was something he really wanted to see.
He said, yeah, well, you won't see, he won't never sing that note again.
He ain't gonna mess it up no more. But no, so all in all, I think that we are in for a good series. There are we've watched two episodes, there are eight total, I believe. And if you haven't been watching AMC Plus, you get the episodes a little early. Comes on every Sunday. But I think we're going to be in for a treat for the next six episodes. Gotcha. I'll be watching three and a half minute. And we'll come back. I think we'll come back to this definitely at the end of the series. Tell y'all how we felt about it. Y'all know how we do.
I hope you guys are enjoying it as well. What are y'all's likes about it? What are your dislikes? Any complaints? Any highlights from the show? What are you feeling? Because I'm really digging the storytelling and the realism of the vampire. Like, they really, you know, like, they don't look like somebody pop powder on their faces and stuff. Makeup, like, they look human, but they look.
It's the like eyes, girl. It's the eyes. Something contacts or whatever they got going on is working.
And I read that they got different colors for each of them. Like Louis is more like a green gray like color. Lestat is blue, and I think Claudia is going to be like this.
She's
golden,
like a bright
golden
hazel,
brown, hazelish.
Looking, yeah.
And they said,
I seen her in a commercial.
And they changed their colors whenever they're attacking. So when they're attacking or they're feeding or something, their eyes change. And also their teeth change when they're in attack mode. And so it's like you get subtleties from them. And then as the buildup happens, they become more themselves. So it's like not monstrous scary, but like creepy scary, because it could be the person sitting next to you scary.
Like I said, they're doing a very good job. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Roland Jones is the director on this. And then rest her soul, Anne Rice mm-hmm. was executive producing, but her son is also on this. Christopher Rice is also working with this to continue on because she did not make it to the end. Well, I don't know if she made it to the end of production for season one.
Yeah, no, she didn't.
Because she passed mm-hmm. in December of mm-hmm. 21. So, you know, it should be good when you got the hand of the writer in there. And we're gonna keep watching.
Yeah, so let us know what y'all think in the comments. Like this video, subscribe to this YouTube channel. And if you haven't, why are you not in Horror Hooch Facebook group? Why are you not in it?
Again. and share. If you like us, share us with a friend. Hit the button. Put us on that.
Absolutely. We got more coming, you guys. The month is just getting started. We're just getting started. So we look forward to hearing from you guys and look forward to seeing more of us this October, this Halloween. Enjoy the series, you guys.